Let's remember together some of the greatest TV and movie stars of yesteryear with the woman who knew them. Mary Jane Popp hosted radio and TV shows for nearly 5 decades, meeting these stars and getting them to share their real-life stories. You'll meet them up close and personal as Mary Jane searches her extensive archives for the best and brightest real star talk on Pop Star Talk. And here she is, Mary Jane Popp.
Welcome back to Pop Star Talk. Now, this show is going to give you some great happy memories, and you'll know why shortly. And of course, my producer, Kenneth Segura Nolas, with me as we go into the archives of the interviews that I've done with a myriad of celebrities over so many decades. You know, I've spoken to a couple of the stars of this super comedy with the likes of Anson Williams and Marion Ross. And now another star who stole the show with so many bits. And I'll share one of those encounters with you a little later. Hi, Ken. How you ready for a walk back in time from 1974 to 1984 with a TV series everyone in the family could enjoy? Can you guess if I tell you or say mention the Cunningham family?
Absolutely. Happy days.
That,
you know, 1974 to 84. Were happy days for me, too. I just graduated from high school, moved to California. Happy days.
Well, you know what? What always amazed me is that the series was from the 50s. And here from the 74 to 84, people loved it. Was it because maybe it was just a little, I don't know, sweeter time or simpler time? That it wasn't so doggone complicated with everything. I know we had the Cold War and all that, but it didn't seem to be as much of an influence as some of the stuff that's going on today. It was so sweet.
Well, you know, the family and relationship between the different characters, I mean, that's every generation is that. You know, you have the friends that have those type of characteristics. And there's always the cool guy, you know, the Vons.
Yeah, the Vons.
You know, the show, the 70s show, is a lot like it, if you really think about it.
Yeah.
You know, the way they do the characters.
And of course, we'll be talking with Donnie Most in this one, in this segment. But it was interesting because the first season that he was in, he really didn't have any kind of, it was on what they call end credits. He wasn't like a main character. But I guess he made a really great impression because second season, he was one of the majors and kept growing from there.
Yeah, I'm sure his agent showed up and said, look, we're drawing enough people. I want a title card.
Yeah, there you go. And they worked hard. It was, I don't know, it was chemistry, Ken. You know, you see some series and there's just a chemistry that holds it together. One can almost tell what the other one was going to be saying. Now, I know they knew the script, but it was the feeling, the emotions, all that played into it.
Right. Every group of friends has a redhead character. He had red hair.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. Without further ado, let's go back to a time when teens had a true loving family and love to make us laugh with all their antics.
Sunday, Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days. The weekend comes, my cycle hums, ready to race to you.
Who doesn't remember that iconic TV series called Happy Days? It resonated with so many on so many levels, but then there was the buddies, you know, Richie Cunningham, Ron Howard, and Ralph Melf was always there for Richie. But Donnie Most has done it all, from television to movies, voice acting, and most recently, performing a cabaret act with a 7-piece band. He even came out during the holidays with a CD called Swingin' Down the Chimney. And his latest one is going to be coming out in February called D-Most, Mostly Swingin'. And it's going to be a lot of the classics. We'll talk a little bit about that, and we'll hear a couple of those songs, too. But right now, I want to say, Donnie, what a pleasure to have you with us on Pop Off.
Well, thank you, Mary Jane. Thanks for having me on.
Well, let me ask you, though. What's a boy from Flatbush doing a cabaret act? That's incredible.
I grew up in Flatbush in Brooklyn. And, you know, I always loved I always loved the great jazz standards from the time I was very young. And, you know, I got to see, being in New York, I got to see some great ones. Bobby Darin, who was a hero of mine, I saw him perform at the Copacabana nightclub in New York when I was like 18. So, and I used to listen to all that stuff, and I was a great DJ in New York, William B. Williams on WNEW, and he would play all the standards and the great artists doing them. So I got an education and developed an intense love for this music, and I actually performed it when I was pretty young, when I was 14, 15 years old, before I was acting, before I did Happy Days. I was singing up in the Catskill Mountains, upstate New York, in all the hotels up there one summer.
No kidding. So
So it's really going back to my first love, as I like to say.
Now, you went to college, and you actually studied engineering. How the heck did you get into acting?
Well, I was pursuing it from the time I was pretty young. My parents, you know, they were supportive, but they certainly knew the perils of the career, of a career in show business. So they wanted to make sure I had something substantial to back up on in case. So they, you know, were pretty adamant that I should get a degree. So, I went to college as a backup. So, I entered as an engineering major because my uncles were engineers, and I was good in math, and I figured, okay, well, because I didn't know what else. I knew I wanted to do the acting and singing thing, but so for school, that's what I entered. But you know, after 6 months, I knew that if you're not serious about engineering, it was a pretty tough field to get by in. So I transferred out of into their business school. And but you know, my focus was still always on. I was doing a lot of theater at the school during that time, and I was going constantly on auditions into New York City from Pennsylvania for interviews, auditions, and doing some work. So that was always my main focus.
Yeah, that was that. That's where your heart was, right?
Oh yeah.
Now you actually auditioned though for the Richie Cunningham part, didn't you?
Actually, for the role of Patsy Weber.
Oh, Patsy. Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of a long story because Ron and Anson had done the show, done a pilot for Happy Days prior, about a year and a half earlier, and it didn't sell. It didn't sell. And I think they aired it as an episode of a show called Love American Style. But then what happened was, American Graffiti came out in 73, and it was a huge hit about the 50s, and the Broadway show Grease came out around that time. So I think the network executives realized, well, wait a minute, maybe that was a good idea. Gary had this show, Gary Marshall had this show, and they said to him, okay, we want to do it, but we want to make another pilot. And he thought that now, the network thought Ron and Anson might be too old now to play high school, but Gary was feeling, no, they could do it. He wanted them. But the network made him screen test a bunch of other people for those two roles, and I was one of them.
Oh.
And, you know, after several auditions, I was asked to do a screen test. And that's why I was reading for Patsy.
Oh,
and then I got a call from my agent. I mean, that was a Friday and afterwards, and he said, you didn't get the part, but they liked your screen test so much that they decided they wanted to create, you know, put you in the show and create a role for you, kind of. So that's how the thing wound up as Ralph on the show.
You know, I got to ask you, it seemed like you guys really did have a good, strong buddy, you know, type of system. Were you really that close?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it's hard to... Yeah, I mean, I think that's what a lot of people said. You know, it definitely came through, and I think that's one of the things that will sort of, you know, separate certain shows and give them it's the distinction that sort of elevates certain shows when there is that great chemistry between the cast and in our case, you know, we had great respect for each other and then grew to really, you know, be a family and love each other and had a great time. we worked really hard at. We worked very hard at it. We took it very seriously. We weren't just like goofing off and having fun. We did have fun because, you know, and we had an incredible director, Jerry Parrish, and with Gary Marshall as our leader, you know, we had incredible people and the cast. So that it was a huge factor in, I think, the success of the show.
Do you still get to see, you know, the other personalities, that, you know, the Henry Winklers and whoever else was in the show? Do you ever see them or get together?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I just spoke to Anson Williams, who played Ponte. I spoke to him, yesterday.
Really?
And, I just spoke to him, and I speak to him. We're very close. I see him all the time. And I saw Marion a few weeks ago, and it's been a couple of months that I haven't spoken to Henry, but we had lunch together, and I played golf with Scott Baio not that long ago. So it's great, you know, it is like seeing your cousins or your aunt, or, you know, I mean, it is that kind of a feeling.
It's real family. That's the feeling that we got on it. Like when we tune in to the show, we were part of a family, and they kind of invited us in to be a part of that family.
Yeah, every Tuesday night we were in a lot of people's living rooms, you know, and it was the kind of show. This is what I get from a lot of fans and people that I meet today, that they said they loved it because it was a show that the family would watch together and enjoyed watching together. And they wish that there were more shows like that today, that they could bond like that in front of the TV set.
You know, you've done so much. I mean, you've done movies, you've done the television, you did a lot of guest appearances on all kinds of shows, from Star Trek to Voyager, Diagnosis Murder, Glee, unbelievable. You also did voice acting and cartoons that you did in the morning. How do you change from one to the other? It's incredible.
In my mind, you know, as an actor, that's kind of what you set out to do is to... I love playing a wide variety of roles, and that's the joy of doing it. And I guess I don't know that myself, being myself, is all that interesting. So I have to.
Sure you are. Are you kidding?
Well, I don't know. I always, you know, I was kind of shy growing up and all that, and there was a big distinct split between, like, my people would be amazed because, you know, they'd see me get on stage, whether it be singing or this or that, and they go, wow, because you're so shy. And I guess it was a way of expressing yourself and feeling comfortable because you're not being you, you know.
Yeah.
So you could be less inhibited in my mind. And I love playing all different roles in different, you know, whether it be theater, TV, film. And then behind the camera, you know, I've directed three independent feature films. And that was a wonderful experience. So I really love the variety and the creative juice that it gives me.
Now, how did you choose the songs? Because these are classics that you have on your mostly swinging CD.
Yeah. It was not easy picking them because, I mean, there's so many. You know, like I mentioned, I love the Great American Songbook and the jazz standards, because that's the way my approach is, more, you know, with a jazz bend and swing and big band and all that. Because you mentioned, I actually do my show sometimes with 17-piece band.
Really?
Yeah, that's what I love. I just did it in a club out here, L.A., Catalina's Jazz Club, has a great 17-piece band. And on my CD, we have that kind of band, and even more, we have strings on some of the beautiful, you know, songs that needed that. And you know, they're wonderful, incredible songs that are standards for a reason, you know, because they stand the test of time, and these are songs that have been around, some of them 70, 80, 90 years, and they're going to be, I think, around for at least that long. And I love that this music has sort of had a resurgence in the last, you know, 10, 15, maybe 20 years. And so picking the songs was not easy because there's so many great ones. But I met with my producer, Willie Murillo, and we just, you know, went through them, listened to them, discussed them, and whittled it down until we came up with our final There's basically 12 and then one bonus song.
Fantastic.
And it was a wonderful, oh, God, did I love doing this.
Hang in there with me because I want to play a little bit of the samples that I have, okay?
Sure. Absolutely.
I never cared much for moonlit skies. I never winked back at fireflies. But now that the stars are in your eyes, I'm beginning to see the light. And I never went in for afterglow or candlelight on the mistletoe. But now when you turn the lamp down low, I'm beginning to see the light. I used to ramble through the park, shadow boxing in the dark. Then you came and caused a spark, that's a four-alarm fire now. I never made love by lantern shine, I never saw rainbows in my wine. But now that your lips are burning mine, I'm beginning to see the light. I never cared much for moonlit skies. When you're smiling, when you're smiling, the whole world, it smiles with you. When you're laughing, oh babe, when you're laughing, the sun's gonna come shining through. But when you're crying.
And of course, that is just a small sample of all the songs you're going to hear, including.
You know what, Mary Jo? I have to interrupt you.
Yeah.
Because those are actually what you played was a sample of some songs that I had done sort of, a year or two ago, just as a demo.
Oh.
And the actual CD that I have is totally different. There must have been a mistake of when my publicist sent you the material.
But you sound so good.
Oh, thanks. That was stuff that I just did on my computer for fun. And it was when I was first starting, you know, I was letting people hear some of the stuff that I'd been doing for fun at home. And then that led to me doing the CD of mostly swinging.
The thing that was shocking to me, even when I did the interview, Ken, and maybe it was to you too, here's on Happy Days, he's the jokester, he's the silly guy. And then that voice comes out, and
yeah.
He's good. You had a good voice.
No, he's you can tell he has a stage background.
He's got that projection. Well, he also performed vocals in several episodes of Happy Days, where Ralph was part of a band with Potsy and Richie, and later on Chachi, who was Arcola, Scott Bayo. Everybody knows him too. But although primarily he sang vocals, and he loved doing it. I mean, I was told, and we'll hear a little bit more of the song, he loved music. That was his first love.
Right.
Acting came, but you know, maybe it all works together. Because it's all entertainment, and it all comes from the heart and soul. And I think that is, to me, unbelievable. Now, he did the CD. This was in 2017 when I talked with him. And the CD did come out. It got good reviews, but not terrific. But in 2023, he reached a career high, is what they call it, with a full-length album called New York High. And the album received positive across-the-board reviews and good sales. And in the UK press, a Dominique Jones of the BBC quipped, to be frank, he's the new Sinatra.
Oh.
And I thought that was kind of interesting, too. But anyway, we got to get back to a little bit of...
Just one quick little story.
Yeah, sure.
You know, when you're young and hanging out with the gang, and this reminded me. So we got into an argument, and I always thought the character on Happy Days, that his name was Ralph Mouth.
I did too.
And it's not Ralph Mouth.
No.
And what's funny about it is that I ended up winning that argument, and I just was looking at it's Ralph Mouth.
Yeah, M-A-L-P-H.
It rhymes with Ralph Mouth.
But I always thought for years, I thought it was Ralph Mouth, which would have been pretty funny. But
I remember it flashed back sitting with the guys watching, and every time they said his name, I told you it was Ralph Mouth, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And I was wrong.
Right. It did sound like that. It really did. Well, I got a little surprise for you, Kim.
Okay.
I couldn't resist digging out an incredible segment of Ralph Mouth, of course, Donnie Most, getting into it with the Fonz, Henry Winkler. It had to do with being hypnotized. Donnie was hypnotized. But you don't need to see it. The words will tell all.
You are Fonzarelli.
Ralph.
Now, before I take over your office, I want it spick and span. I mean, get those stupid combs out of there.
Hypnotism. It's hypnotism.
And another thing, Artie. Artie. That's right. That's right. You heard me, Artie. Artie.
No, Artie,
just shut up.
All right. Look, calm is nice.
And another thing, Artie. You've really been bugging me lately. The way you ride that stupid motorcycle of yours. When are you gonna get some training wheels?
Mouse leaving. He's leaving.
Wait a minute. I didn't say anything about his crummy jacket yet.
No. Get him unhypnotized, Fonz.
Yeah, it was. You know, I had to play that segment because that was really showed his talent and how he did and how he responded to good old Fonz, because nobody ever went up against Fonz, yeah. You know, and especially calling him Artie. Was Arthur Fonzarelli, but right. Artie, no, that was just not going to happen. So I had to play a little bit of that because it was fun.
And the facial expressions that Fonzarelli was making as he did were priceless. I remember, I didn't have to see it. I remember the episode.
Yeah, it's just, those things just stay with you, you know, it's that good. Well, on that note, I want to go back to my interview with Don, as I wondered if a favorite song of his, which was C'est Si Bon, is on his CD, which came out shortly after my interview with him in 2017.
C'est Si Bon is on the CD. That's the duet that's on the CD. So if you have that.
Yeah, I got it. Listen. Let's go for it.
Okay.
C'est bon. Lovers say that in France, when they thrill to romance, it means that it's so good.
So I say it to you, like the French people do, because it's oh so good.
Every word, every sigh, every kiss dear, leads to only one thought, and it's this dear.
Yes, dear.
You know what, Donnie? I could close my eyes and I can see the big ballroom with the tables around it and the big band. I mean, it comes right out and jumps and grabs you.
Yeah, that music, I those arrangements.
Oh.
Willie did great arranging on it and with great musicians playing that. It brings you right back to that. But I think the music on the CD will also... It has the integrity and the essence of the way it was done back in the day, but it also has a modern voicings that they give to the arrangement. So it's a really nice combination of the essence of the old, but something new.
And the clarity and the sound is wonderful.
Yeah.
Gosh, it's good. I have to ask you, what do you want to do next? What's the up? I mean, you've done almost everything. I'm not sure if there's anything left.
Well, it's funny. I don't feel like I have, because there's so much that I feel that is still left to do. I mean, so much as an actor. In honesty, I feel like you know, on the things that are out there that people have seen, I feel like I've only touched the surface of what I want to do. And I'm hoping to get a lot more, more in the dramatic side, which is when I started acting. That's the roles I got before I got to comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to do more directing. I have some great film projects I'm trying to get going, and I'd really love to do that. And then the singing, I want to continue. I want to record again, and I've been having a blast doing live shows around the country, and I'd like to continue doing that, even, you know, at a higher level, more with more consistency and bigger venues, whatever, you know, wherever it can take me.
Do you have a family?
Yes. I have a wife. We've been married almost 35 years.
Oh, and, congratulations.
And we met on Happy Days. She was an actress and had a small guest role on one of the shows. And we started dating, and then 2 years later got married. And we have two wonderful daughters that are 28 and almost 30 now. So that's been an incredible part of my life as well.
Do you have any hobbies?
When I have free time, I love to play golf.
Ah.
I haven't had much time lately because I've been busy with the music as of late.
Sure.
But I'm hoping to get out and play a little bit because that's healthy. I need something to turn my mind off for a while.
Get your juices going, you know, just by relaxing and start thinking.
Yeah.
Now,
rejuvenate.
Out of curiosity, what is your philosophy of life? Do you have a philosophy of life?
You know, I wish, God, I don't know that I can distill. Talk to me in 20 years.
Oh, okay.
I don't know that I have the wisdom yet. I mean, I've certainly gained certain things over the years, but I don't know that I can distill it down into a couple of sentences yet. I wish I was at that place, but hopefully I will be one day.
What makes you happy?
I love being with family and really good friends. That's really, really important to me. And then I love being on stage and singing and or in front of a camera after I've tackled a role.
Mm-hmm.
And I really feel like I own it and I'm ready to do it, and then the doing of it. I love that.
Can you watch yourself? I've talked to a lot of celebrities over the years, and some of them said they cannot watch themselves. They can't watch the movie or whatever they're in. How do you feel about that? Can you watch and be objective?
It is hard. It's very, you know, I think I've gotten better. It used to be very tough in the beginning. I'm not one of those who absolutely cannot, you know, will not watch. I do. Sometimes it's weird. Sometimes I'll think like something, and then other times I'll really be unhappy, and other people will say, "What are you talking about? It was really good or great."
Mm-hmm.
And to me, I'm seeing it is hard to be objective. So it's kind of hit and miss with me sometimes I like things and sometimes I don't, and I've tried to figure out, well, what's the difference? Why am I liking it sometimes? And, you know, was it, maybe it was because I was really, you know, the work was at the level that I really aspire to.
Mm-hmm.
And when there's any kind of moment that doesn't ring 100% true to me, I could feel it and see it when other people don't. That's what I guess. That's my best guess.
And I know we're running out of time here, but I'm going to look forward to having you back when that CD is out. However, I'm going to ask you a question that I always ask everyone, and some of them say, "Are you kidding? I can't do this." Step out of yourself and look back at Donnie Most. And tell me in about 25 words or less, somewhere around there, who are you?
Oh, boy. Yeah, that is a tough one. It's like the philosophy question.
I know.
Oh, God. I'm a kid from Brooklyn who loved growing up playing in the streets and playing ball and with his friends, and then going upstate New York and being near a lake during the summers and the wonderful countryside, and then who loves, gets an incredible rush and high from getting creative with performing. I guess that's who I am.
That's darn good. That's very good. So how did your parents, I mean, after your mom and dad, you know, they wanted you to have the backup, and I think all parents want to do that. Right. How did they feel when your career took off and you started doing all these wonderful things, including Happy Days?
Yeah, I think at the beginning, I think they were almost in shock, you know. I think so, because, you know, they like I said, you know, they knew how difficult this could be, and when things started going pretty good, you know, they were excited and all that. But I don't think I back then had a lot of belief, and they, you know, they were more rational about it. And, you know, and it was hard for me to understand why they didn't have the same sense of belief that I did. But I mean, they were totally supportive, but they didn't, you know, I don't think they really saw that coming, you know, and how would I know that it was coming too? But you know, but I guess it's a lesson that if you really hold something in your mind and heart strong enough, you know, and then you can make things happen. But I think, you know, then of course they were incredibly excited and, sure. and happy for me and all that. But I think it was a little bit, you know, it was an unexpected thing for them, I'm sure.
Yeah, but you had the passion. You had the passion and the belief and the love of what you were doing. Isn't that what success is all about, doing something that you love? It's not work.
Yeah.
It's love.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. 150% or more true that you just said.
Well, and you're looking at somebody or talking with somebody that does the same thing. I love talking to the people that I have on the air, and you have been an absolute delight.
Oh, thank you. It was delightful talking to you as well. I really enjoyed it. And I look forward to coming back.
Absolutely. I'll talk with Harlan and we'll get it scheduled so we can plug that CD when it comes out.
I'll be there. All right.
Thanks so much. And a very happy new year to you.
Same to you.
Thank you
very much. Thank you.
Oh, by the way, do you have a website?
Oh, yeah. DonnieMose.com.
Oh, okay. That's easy. Okay.
Yes.
Thanks so much for being with me today and have a wonderful, wonderful year. We'll talk soon.
Wasn't he a delight, Ken?
Yes.
Yeah. I love the sincerity of these people. And maybe it's because I don't look at them as, quote, stars. You know, they're just folk who are doing what they love most. And we do what we do love most. And the thing is, you're also a musician. He's a pretty good musician, doggone it. You know, he's got a good voice.
Now, interesting, he said that the first cuts we heard were demos that he recorded at home.
They were good.
That was amazing. That means he can compose. I was amazed when he said they were demos. Because they were very, very good. Now, when he played that, the other one, I could tell that it was a little bit more mastered, but they were very, very good. You know, he was, as you mentioned, he built his character up and got a title card.
Yeah. And he did so much more. You already said that you knew he had a stage presence, you know, that he had that special something. It's charisma. You know, that they can really relate to the audience that he's on. But he did have appearances, stage appearances, in The Sunshine Boys with Robert Wall in 2017. He did, The Middletown, and did Middletown at Bucks County Playhouse 2019. United Artists released his only pop album, actually way back in 1976. And, you know, that didn't make it as much, but he didn't let go. Because he loved what he was doing, and he loved to sing and to perform. One other thing that he said, he married, you know, this wonderful woman. You know, I had to step away for a second, and I forgot. Did he mention that her name was Morgan Hart, and she was the daughter of burlesque queen Margaret Hart Ferraro?
No, he didn't mention that. But he did mention that she was on the show.
Yeah.
She had a part on the show.
So, but I thought that was kind of interesting. It doesn't matter, you know, but I just thought that was interesting, you know, because the talent, I guess, rolls over from family member to family member. They live, I believe, just north of Denver in Colorado still. So.
Yeah, I read that they moved to Colorado.
Yeah.
When he was talking to you, he mentioned he was in Hollywood.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think he's still doing things, you know, not only with his music, but he does a lot of voiceover work. And they did cartoons. Well, I loved it because they actually performed with a band on Happy Days. And I almost forgot about that because all three of them, Patsy, Richie, and Ralph, had a band that they played with. And it's, you know, they carried over so much of that. You know, and I think they interjected some of their personal life because they loved what they did. And haven't you noticed that almost everyone that we've spoken to, even though they were actors or, you know, singers or whatever it happened to be, they always had something else that they loved doing. They were sculptors. They did jewelry. They did artwork. And in his case, he loved singing. And did that as a side. All of them had something that they really loved that was their side thing. I don't know, maybe that just made them feel better or happier. I don't know. But it they all had something that they did. All the stars that I've known always had a sidebar that they did. How about you? Do you have any hobbies, Ken?
Oh, I have. Well, you know, I play music and I try to play golf. I'm not a very good golfer. But one thing that was interesting and I could really relate with him was that, one, he had a band in high school. Uh-huh. I had a band in high school. You know, two, music, golf, made movies. You know, all those are kind of my dream.
Well, you know, it never ends. Because that's your passion. Mm-hmm. What I've learned, and you know, about you, of course, because we've been friends for a long time, but even the stars, the same way, they had a passion. And that passion never goes away. You can do other things because you have to make a living. You got a family, you know.
Right.
And they love that, but it's, that passion is still buried deep inside. And it just kind of comes out every so often. And you got to do it, you got to use it.
Yeah, I'd like to. I'm going to do some research and see what films he directed.
Oh.
Just go to IMDb and find.
Yeah.
I would love to see what films he's directed. And he's not too far from me. He's up in Denver. I'm in New Mexico.
That's true. Well, a lot of people are on the West Coast. You're in Albuquerque, and there's a lot of stars that have moved to Albuquerque because aren't the studios there that they're building, you know, comparable to Hollywood now?
Oh, yes. Netflix has Netflix Studios, Albuquerque Studios here. And it used to be called Albuquerque Studios. It's now Netflix Studios. It's a multi-stage facility. You and I were in L.A. We drove by Warner Brothers. Mm-hmm. You know, Warner Brothers, it's just huge.
Yeah,
but it's a small version of Warner Brothers.
Yeah, it's interesting when we were down in L.A. And folks, this was a time that we went down for, it was called Writers and Illustrators of the Future. It was a gala at the Taglian Center, which I'd never, had you ever been to the Taglian Center? I've never been there.
I didn't even know that existed. I thought it was going to be somewhere else.
Yeah, and the funny thing about it is that when you drive by, you'd not even know it's there. Mm-hmm. It's very, very kind of cut off and very quiet. But boy, when you walk into that place, it's beautiful, absolutely beautiful. But again, you meet people and you say, gee, where did they come from? What did they do? There were people at that particular event when we went there from, Australia, China, the UK. And it's when you meet all these people and you start talking about entertainment, that the countries drop away. It's their passion of what they do on the screen, whether it's a big screen or a small screen, doesn't matter, or on, you know, musicians. I mean, you know, I started out singing and acting, but yeah, I still love once in a while going back to that. You can't, although I've loved all the years that I've spent interviewing all these wonderful people, including yourself. Hey, folks, I got to tell you something. We were going over some DVDs of television stuff that I've done that we're going to be putting up on Pop Star Talk that you'll be able to go and see. And I did an interview, and we completely forgot about it. And this was done, oh my gosh, must have been, what, 30 years ago?
94,
okay. He just started the Sacramento Film Festival, which is still going on, by the way, because of the way you set it up and everything. It was wonderfully done. But it was so funny to watch us going back all those years. And I forgot that I interviewed you. I really did.
I still don't remember when we did that.
I know. Anyway, it's always been wonderful. It's a wonderful time speaking with you, Ken, as always. And for bringing, you know, some wonderful stuff to all the people. And, you know, hopefully people will be with us on a regular basis, because we are going to be adding some little, I call them bennies. If you're going to be a subscriber with us, you know, we're going to give you some extra stuff that you'll be able to see that no one else has ever seen. Some of it's pretty funny. Some of it is very serious. But, you know, these are the things that you and I have done. We've been doing this for a long time.
So this is show 27. We're going to do 30 shows, and then we're going to spend a little time adding to those special bennies, as you call it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people who, you know, it's always fun to listen to these interviews multiple times. I've heard them multiple times. But we'll have some interesting things on the podcast that you can go listen to or watch. And we'll evolve to the next 30 shows, adding some video to our podcasts.
Which I think will be really fun, because they'll get to see us and they'll go, really? You know, hey, we're still kicking. You know, after all these years, I can't believe that I've done this for 5 decades, you know, and actually probably 51 decades now doing all these shows and all that. But I love it. You love it. We're not going to stop. Right, Ken?
Absolutely not.
You bet. Okay, folks, you know, when we go back to some of these interviews, I can honestly say it leaves me with a smile. And I'm sure the same holds true for Ken and our engineer, Greg. Hope you enjoyed it as much as I did listening back to a different age when life was a little sweeter. So hope you'll tell your family and friends to tune in and we can take that journey together once again. Till our next Pop Star Talk, live simply, laugh often, love deeply, and of course, always dare to dream.
Produced by AutoVita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.